97.5, The Fanatic.
As soon as the game is over tomorrow, tune into our Fanatic post-game show with Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. The guys will break down the game between the Eagles and the Birds. They'll have Doug Peterson's post-game presser and audio from the players in the locker room, all presented by Prop Swap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. So the Sixers and the Heat, getting ready to tip it up in Miami at 8 o'clock, a game you can hear right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. They have split the first two in this series. Hard to believe that they will have played three games against each other before the new year. Before the new year. The Heat come into this ninth in the league in scoring. They will not turn you over. They are third in the Eastern Conference standings. I always mention the not really turning you over. They forced 13 against the Sixers on December 18th. But, you know, the Sixers have trouble there, and that's not something they really have to concentrate on tonight. But I'm looking at their home versus road. They definitely, the Heat at home, score 10 more points at home than they do on the road. And they are 14-1 at home this year. When they are at home, they've shot pretty good, 49% from the floor, 41 from three. So the Sixers will have to be playing better basketball than they played last night when they lost to the Orlando Magic, also in Florida. A one-point loss, though. Burt Brown wanted nothing to talk about the push they made in the fourth to make it that one-point game, because he was quite honestly incredibly upset with the way his team came out from the standpoint of not answering Orlando's physicality. Let's check in with the patient Tom in Deptford. Tom, thank you for calling. Thanks for hanging on, and thanks for calling the Fanatic.
AD, you know me. I'll give credit where credit's due, and they played a wonderful game, shot 60%. I told you, when a B goes down low, his inside game works inside out. Goes back up top. Turnovers are the key. They did not turn a ball over with Milwaukee. They had like eight turnovers.
Yep.
They went D. I'm tired of the excuses. You want to keep losing these ticky-tock games to lesser opponents? Here's what's going to happen, D. You're going to have a third or fourth seed. Okay, you're going to have to play a tough seven-game series. Okay, not have home field advantage. Okay, and that was the difference with the Toronto series.
Yes.
They have home field advantage. They win it. They come out of the East. Bottom line, every year it's the same thing. Somebody's got it, or something's got to go. The coach either got to go, or one of these players got to go, and I know it's not going to be the players, but something is not right to lose these kind of games. And you know what, we're going to be that team every year. If we keep on the same pace, we're going to make it to the second or third round. We're going to get knocked out in tough seven-game series, and we're going to be that same team. We're never going to win. Listen, the Raptors did that a couple years ago, and what happened? They won a championship. They said, hey, our coach isn't good enough to get this team over the top. We got to make a change. I don't know what it is, Dave.
That's a very good example, because he did. He kept running into LeBron, and at the same time that he got bounced, LeBron bounced to the Western Conference.
I know, D, but it's not with the excuses, D.
Tom. They also swapped out Kawhi for DeMar DeRozan. Please, don't even try to tell me that that's the same.
I understand all that. Listen to me. They're good enough to be just as good as Milwaukee. Am I correct? How come Milwaukee can bring it every night? Okay, yeah.
They didn't bring it Christmas.
I know they had a bad game in Philadelphia, but that's on a rare occasion. Every night that team, I've watched them for 2 years straight, they bring it, D. Okay, this team loses to inferior opponents. I don't know what it is. If the coach isn't good enough, he's got to go. I'm tired 3 years watching the same team. What are we going to do, stay for seven, and now the players get older, and now we got to start all over again? Something's got to give, D.
All right.
They're too talented to lose games like they did last night. They need to be the first or second seed, bottom line.
Okay.
No, you're right. They do need to be the first or second seed. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you.
I mean, why do we build this team?
What do you mean, why do we build it?
Why do we build this team like we did? Why did the GM go out, Brant, and build this team to build to win 60 games? Am I correct?
Well, how many games do you want it built to win? 82?
No. What I'm saying to you is this team needs to finish first or second, and it may have to take 60 games.
That's...
But you can't keep losing. You can't go 55 and whatever it is and have a third or fourth seed. You got to win. You got to finish one or two. You got to stop losing to the Minnesotas. You got to stop losing to the Magic. You got to beat these teams when you got a chance and beat the good teams.
I agree with you, and I appreciate the phone call, Tom. I agree with you that they could still get the number two seed is an absolute. Will they want to kick themselves if, in fact, this loss to Orlando comes back to haunt them? I'm sure they would. They are currently a game and a half out of the second seed. Yes, they are 5.5 games back of Milwaukee, but they are a game and a half out of the second seed, which currently belongs to the Boston Celtics. I will say that. And I will say, too, that me just pointing out that trading DeMar DeRozan and getting a Kawhi Leonard is not an excuse. It is just reminding you that the guy that was the MVP of the playoffs last year, the finals, he came for 1 year, and that makes a pretty big difference. Dwayne Casey had DeMar DeRozan as his best guy. Nick Nurse had Kawhi Leonard. It's not an excuse. It's just telling you the facts. 610-632-0975. Sixers heat coming up. Tobias Harris going to give it a go with that sore right hip. What needs to happen that did not happen last night in Orlando for the Sixers to secure their 24th win? And please, I need them to get above 500 on the road. They are currently 7-9 away from the confines of the Wells Fargo Center. 610-632-0975. Jump in, share your thoughts on this Sixers team that does go up and down. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I hope you're going to settle in this evening and watch some NBA basketball or listen to it right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers get right back at it after a disappointing loss on the road to the Orlando Magic last night. And the last caller was mentioning how they suffer these losses to poor opponents. And I'm not going to dispute that, but I am just going to point out a team that many would say they would take their chances and say they would win the NBA championship this year, and that would be the LA Clippers. The LA Clippers are 23-10. The Sixers are 23-11. I'm not comparing the two teams, but I'm just saying the LA Clippers have lost to the Phoenix Suns. They have lost to Utah and Milwaukee, good teams. We've lost to Utah and did we play Milwaukee? I'll have to see. I mean, obviously, they just manhandled Milwaukee. But they have lost to San Antonio. They have lost to OKC. I mean, it happens. That's the point. It happens. Now, I'm not trying to dismiss it. I found it a very disappointing game to watch last night. How do you not bring it 2 days later when you were so emphatic about how you beat the Milwaukee Bucks on Christmas Day? But it does not mean that this team cannot advance to the Eastern Conference Finals and possibly be the team that's representing in the finals. I think they do a lot of things very good defensively. I think they are very good, especially when Joel Embiid is on the floor. And I do agree that offensively they are always trying to figure something out because teams have come at them trying to exploit their weaknesses, and they've done a good job of that. So we'll see. We'll see tonight. Miami's the one who threw the 2-3 at them, 2-3 zone for 39 possessions. How many days ago was that? 10 days ago. And they appear to have figured some of that out. And really, we all know, you got to make shots against the zone to get them out of it. So go out and make some shots. I also would say work your way inside out. You got to get some points in the paint, which they only had 32 last night. That is not enough with this team. Not with the likes of Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, guys that like to operate or want the same real estate, Brett Brown calls it. So points in the paint, on average, they get 48. 32 was well below that. Bring that number up. The Miami Heat are 14-1 on their home floor, and they won last night against Indiana in a game that, at least if you were paying attention to Twitter, must have been a heck of a game. 113-112 is how it finished. I know in that game, Jimmy Butler had, he was 14 of 15 at the line. And so against the Sixers, he didn't get to level. He got to the line for 5 attempts 10 days ago, nothing like he did last night. So I am throwing out the question, and really it's for both this game tonight and the Eagles tomorrow. What needs to happen? And in the case of the Sixers, I know this is the 35th game of the year. I get that. But it's coming on the heels of just delivering such a downer of performance against Orlando. So what needs to happen so they bounce back and look like the team that they were against Milwaukee? And if they do that, because Miami is an upper echelon team, 22-8, ranked third in the Eastern Conference. If they do that, then can you just let the Orlando game go? Or will you still be saying, but why? Why do they play down, or why do they play up? Why can they not be more consistent, and why do they not just bring it? And then in the case of the Eagles, do you think in any way, shape, or form that they will not come with the necessary focus, mentality, physicality that being on the road in a game that absolutely matters to you and the opponent knows it, the opponent is playing to end your season. That's what the Giants are doing tomorrow. Now, maybe people, without looking at it, maybe people are playing for job security or that kind of thing to show their strengths or who they can be. But really, the ultimate thing that the Giants are playing is to spoil the Eagles' chances of having their season continue. I did appreciate, let me see if I can pull this up, that John Clark found Vinny Curry, and Vinny Curry has, I think it said he has 4 sacks. Yeah, here it is. John Clark of NBC. 4 sacks over the last 4 games, playing near where he grew up in New Jersey, with a win against the Giants, and they'll be in the playoffs. And so this is what Vinny says. There's a lot riding on the line. The guys are ready. We don't want to go home. And that's what you would, that's the right answer for sure. But that's what you would expect because, what a great story. If that's the case, you would go into the postseason having won 4 games in a row having found a little bit of a stride. Granted, if you win tomorrow, you will have done it without Zach Ertz, who has 88 catches on this season on the heels of setting a record of 116 last year. But you would have to get it done tomorrow without his services, broken rib and a back problem. But you will have found these other pieces and relied on these other pieces. Miles Sanders, for sure. Last week, 20 carries, 79 yards. By the way, we do remind you that Jordan Howard is back for the first time tomorrow since November 3rd. And he had that stinger in the shoulder, but he is returning in a situational role. He won't be the top running back, and that's the right thing, in my opinion. Not to mention, even if he's fine, your conditioning, I mean, that's almost 2 months of being out. So he'll be, he's the one guy coming back. Lane Johnson and Jalen Mills are questionable. Ronald Darby's on the IR, so Rasul Douglas will start. And the biggest thing is the defense. I actually have a lot of confidence in what the Eagles offense is going to be able to do. You just have to make sure the defense does their part. Because last week against, yes, it was the Washington Redskins, but they did score, they being the Giants, 44 points. So I ask you, is your confidence high that the Eagles will be victorious? Do you think it's not a walk-away win? Because I don't think they're good enough to beat anybody in, like, a huge onslaught. Certainly not like what LSU is doing to Oklahoma here. I don't think it's like that. But I do have confidence that it can be, it's not going to be a field goal that wins this. I'd say 7-10 in that range. And I like the way they have looked under the direction of Carson Wentz these last couple weeks, they being the offense. And I also like that while it's been good, it's not perfect. And they have been in situations where it's not comfortable because you were down when you're not supposed to be down. And so I think there was a lot of growing that took place for the offense with Carson Wentz not having his regulars. And he won't have Nelson Aguilar. He will not have Alshon Jeffrey. He has not had DeSean Jackson. Am I missing anybody there? No. And he won't have Zach Ertz, obviously. That's the first one. Or for the first time. That list has been growing all year long. So we'll see. I think that confidence in that Birds team, Doug Peterson seems to get his guys ready for these moments where maybe you should never have been behind the eight ball to begin with if you had done a little more sooner. But this is where you are, and they've been here before, and maybe not with all of the same personnel, but I like their chances tomorrow. And I will be sitting in front of the TV seeing how that unfolds, like everybody else in the Delaware Valley. And then I throw at you the Sixers. If I didn't mention it in this segment, Tobias Harris was questionable with a sore right hip that he suffered, I guess you can say, in last night's game. In the fourth quarter, he took a hard fall. So Tobias is going to go. And so you have your starting five. And hopefully your bench will be able to give you a little more than they did last night, which wasn't great. I believe it was 14 points that the Sixers got from their bench last night. However, and I made this point a little earlier in the show, the bench is not a group that gets a ton of minutes. And Korkmaz had the most last night, 22. Everybody else was, you know, under 18. So Brett Brown is relying heavily on his starters. Now, that could have been last night because they got behind and they're trying to make a comeback against the Orlando Magic. I will say this, they better come out of the gate. Miami's a better team. Miami will be prepared. Miami is kind of riding high with their own good game last night, so to speak. And if you're not prepared, it will be a game not good for the Sixers quite quickly. And in terms of who to beware, I think the ones for me are Nunn had an unbelievable game against the Sixers the last go around, and Bam had a good game too. So, but you know what? This really, to me, the Sixers, just bring your defense the way you're supposed to, and then attack. If in fact they're going to throw the zone at you early, attack the zone with confidence and share the ball. They usually do share the ball. I'm seeing it last night. No, this was, yeah, last night they had 23 assists on 35 made field goals. I would like Embiid to get to the line. He is sixth in the league in getting to the line for free throw attempts. It's down from last year, 8.3, and he does shoot 83%. I think it should be a double digits, which is what it was last year. He averaged 10 free throws a game. That should come up, but it has to be by a conscious decision of his to make that number higher, because you got to get in the paint. Nobody can stop you. That's just truth. Numbers out of Ben Simmons. I mean, last night, you know, he was 5 of 11. Of course, he didn't shoot a 3, and he missed half of his free throws. And he is now shooting 58% at the foul line. I always focus on those two guys first, and then I fill in with the rest of them. I don't know what's happening with Al Horford. Like last night, he had 7 points. The Milwaukee game, I mean, the one thing, well, first of all, he got rebounds and defended Giannis when he was asked to, unbelievably. Last night, he has 7 points, 5 assists, 4 boards. I guess when Tobias and Embiid are crashing the boards for 11 each and Simmons had 9, maybe the ball, you know, it's going elsewhere. And that's why Horford only had 4 boards in his 33 minutes on the court. All right, what do you say? What do you think is going to happen? Are you looking forward to watching this matchup? See some good NBA basketball to kind of set you up. A win tonight will roll into winning football tomorrow. And then everybody will be happy with being a 4-for-4. And by the way, late night tonight, the Flyers, they'll begin their West Coast swing. Let's see, they've had a couple of days off. We'll talk about all of that on the other side. 610-632-0975. What are you hoping to get out of your birds tomorrow? What would be a winning formula for you and a winning formula for the Philadelphia 76ers tonight against the Heat? You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
Get excited!
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So, there's a lot of sports to pay attention to. Obviously, you have the football, which LSU is handling their business with ease. You continue watching football. You might be getting ready for the Sixers and the Heat. And, of course, you're getting ready for tomorrow's game between the Eagles and the Giants. And I mentioned before I went to the last break how the Flyers have set out on a season-long 6-game road trip that begins this evening in San Jose. That is a 7:30 Pacific Coast time. And then they will play again tomorrow in Anaheim. So one of the articles I was reading was like, what would, if they're serious about you know, playoffs and making noise, what would be a good record to come back with from that trip? And 3-2-1, a 7-point trip was what Ed Barkowitz put in today's Inquirer. And the three California teams they are playing do occupy the bottom three spots of the Western Conference standings. So we'll keep an eye on what happens on this West Coast swing. That six-game trip over 12 days, that's a long time to be away. Carter Hart will be playing tonight, and it'll be Brian Elliott and Nett tomorrow. So you got the Flyers in some late-night action. You got the Sixers trying to have a bounce-back game against the Miami Heat. And I like these numbers of Joel Embiid over his last seven games. Now, of course, last night did not have a winning result, but 27 points per game, field goal percentage 51+, 3-point percentage. This was from yesterday, so I'm not sure if this had last night's numbers in there or not. I could do it, but if it didn't, because last night he was 4 of 11 from 3, but 40.7 in the seven games prior, 88% at the line, 13 rebounds, and 3.5 assists. Pretty darn good numbers for our friends out there who don't think he's star. What was that? Like, he's not that guy? He's that guy for me. And I hope he doesn't shoot 11 threes tonight. That was not a career high for Joel Embiid last night. He actually, in a game, I'm trying to think of when that game was, but he has attempted 13 in one game prior. So that was not a career high. It is a season high. Previously, 8 had been his most this year that he had put up. But you want him to get in the low post, and hopefully he will. Tobias Harris was questionable. He then did his warm-up, and according to many on Twitter, he is good to go. So Tobias Harris, yes. And then I had mentioned how the bench had some struggles last night. Didn't get a lot out of them, but the minutes were limited because Brett Brown was trying to come from behind with his starters. Now, he didn't think that they came with the physicality that was necessary, and hopefully they will do that out of the gate today. 610-632-0975. You want to weigh in on any of these games that matter coming up? The Birds and the Giants tomorrow. That's a 425. You'll have all day to get ready. Some of you may be driving on up for that game. It's not going to be a great weather day. It's supposed to rain for sure. The temperature is fairly warm. Today was 46. And the reason you bring it up, because at the Meadowlands, the weather and the wind could be a factor, and especially with Jake Elliott missing some field goals last week, that you might want to know what's it going to be like tomorrow. I have it set for Philadelphia, so it's so funny, the weather. I need to have it specifically for where they're going. Anyhow, we'll see what happens with that. I personally don't think it'll come down to one field goal. I think it will be interesting to see, one, what the defense does for the Eagles and where their focus is. Do they try to take Barkley out of it? It's a pretty difficult task to do. I mentioned how he's rushed for 911 yards this year. He was also the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, and so he could go for big numbers. But so could Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders will be more of a combination, his total yards. Last week he had the 20 carries for 79 and 5 catches for 77. He's actually been steady Eddie, in my opinion. And I'm curious if you think, what offensive player, if I say take Carson out of it, because Carson needs to be at the level he's been playing. And I wonder, after tomorrow, no matter what, he will have played a full season for the first time. And will people, you know, commend that? And will that now become a conversation of the past that, well, he's always hurt, just like he hasn't come through in the clutch. Because I think these last couple of weeks he has come through in the clutch. And he has been able to keep his group together and poised when they've had to put points on the board. And they've been able to do that. So I would hope, I would say, your defense has to be closer to what they were at home last week than what they have shown on the road. They allowed Washington 27 points. They were not good in Miami. They let them go crazy. So I think what your defense does becomes very important because the Giants showed last week they can score. So I say to you, what do you think will happen between the Birds and the Giants, and how does it unfold tomorrow at MetLife Stadium? I, for one, think that they will be headed to the playoffs, and obviously we know they will host that game the following week. I don't even like picking the opponent. Obviously, between Seattle and the Niners, we'll be battling that out. That'll be the final game of Week 17, and you know, one is going to win that division, and the other is going to be traveling, and traveling across the country. What a riot, right? Oh, that's funny. And then if somehow the Eagles do falter, then, you know, you'll simultaneously be keeping an eye on that Dallas game because, and they're both 4:25 starts, and I think that's the right thing to do. But you'll be looking at that if you need help. You shouldn't want to help. You shouldn't need the help. And if you have to get it, it won't sit well, I don't think. Of course, you say to yourself, however you get in, and then you can start a second season when the postseason rolls around. But it's better to go in playing at a higher level. And if you falter tomorrow to the Giants, it's going to mean that you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You didn't play well in some facet of that game, or somebody came up small who needed to come up big, and hopefully that does not happen.
That is correct.
Speaking of coming up big, the Sixers need to come up big against a Miami Heat team that has only lost once at home this year. And I remind everybody that it was the Heat who handed the Sixers their first home loss. Now, I know Miami already has one, but they are 14-1 at home. And they were the ones who came in and spoiled the Sixers' perfection at the Wells Fargo Center for this year on December 18th with a 108-104 victory. I'm trying to think of how I think this one will play out. I do think that the Sixers will come with greater energy. I don't know if that's the right word. Sense of understanding that nothing is handed to you in this league. You got to show up and play. So I think they will have a greater understanding of that. But the opponent is going to be a better opponent than what they saw last night. And I think Spoelstra does an excellent job of coaching that Miami Heat team. And so they'll be equally prepared. I think having played last night, nobody has the advantage there. Maybe slightly Miami because they didn't travel anywhere. But the Sixers were in Orlando. It's a hop, skip, and a jump to get to Miami. So I do think at some point the Sixers need to start thinking about road victories. I think it is one of the areas that separate them from the good teams is that they just have not. Now they're 7-9, but last year they ended up below 500 for the year as well. And right now they're 2 below, obviously. But the teams in front of them have better road records. And if you're going to win in this league, that's kind of where you start to separate yourself. You know, they have an unbelievable home court advantage. I'll never take that away from them. But if you're trying to get one of those top two seeds, you got to win on the road. That's how it's going to happen. And I will say, when you're going into your 35th game, right? So you have 47 to play. That, you know, it sounds like a lot, but the other teams aren't going away. and you still are in that fifth seed, you need to do some work. And that begins with tonight of trying to get a road win against the Miami Heat. I'm trying to see if Miami has anybody that we need to know is not playing of late. Actually, in the first game, what game was that? I'll have to see. And it wasn't at the one here. It might have been way back in the first game earlier, November 23rd, which the Sixers did win, and they limited Miami to just 86 points. I don't think that'll happen tonight. If you didn't hear me before, Miami averages 10 more points at home than they do on the road. They put up 117 at home. They've really done a nice job of putting that roster together with not big, big names. I'm looking at last night's box. I mentioned Jimmy Butler to you. It was a 113-112 victory for Miami. They only forced Indiana into four turnovers. They didn't, it had to be a good game because Indiana shot 49 from the floor, 45 from three. Now, they didn't take a lot of free throws, 10 of 12. Man, Jimmy Butler alone shot more free throws by himself than the entire Pacers team, which was 14 of 15 for Jimmy. And Jimmy was 3 of 11 from the floor. But the guys that I think I've said this before, oh, wow. And their bench came to play. Tyler Harrow and Dragic combined for 24. Olynyk had 9. Yeah, their bench, well, I'll tell you right now, the Sixers bench had better be better than what they had last night, because these guys will take it to them if they're not. All right, let's check in with Joe in Lindenwood. Joe, how are you? And thanks for calling the Fanatic.
I mean, thank you so much. I hope the Sixers do what they need to do tonight and beat the brakes off of Miami. They need to. Joel needs to step up. Ben needs to do his thing. Like, remember that, a couple of nights ago was what, Christmas?
Yeah, Christmas.
And
They were outstanding. Yes, they were amazing.
So, and then they lay a dud against Orlando.
That's a good word for it, Joe. I've been struggling. Lay an egg, dud. I like dud better.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Yes. Isn't it the truth?
It is. It's so the truth.
I tried to sit back and relax and watch when Shaq and Charles Barkley told
Embiid he could be better.
But here's the thing.
What?
When you are the best of the best, mm-hmm. and you are the greatest, you don't need that motivation or a kick in the rear end to get you where you need to go.
Well, this is true. However, I will say, I don't know if you would agree with me, I thought that the advice was solid. Whether you should have to have it, that's fair that you say you shouldn't, and I agree with that. But that Embiid took the advice in, I thought, a very gracious way, and what he proceeded to do those next couple of games looked like he actually meant when he said, I'm going to pay attention to that.
I would be like my favorite baseball player on the planet, and Lord knows he cheated and all that, Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
He was great. And if you took instruction from him or Mike Schmidt to play baseball,
yep.
you would listen. And Joel Embiid listened, but I don't think he needs the kick in the rear end to get him to do that. I mean, Shaq and Charles Barkley are some of the greatest to have ever played the game.
I know. And I appreciate the phone call, Joe. I hope you're watching the Sixers get a victory, as you said. Look, they were just sharing wisdom because that's part of their job. And then they happen to get feedback from Embiid. We're out of time. Sixers Heat coming up with the great Tom McGinnis. Thanks so much for the calls. Thanks to Nat behind the glass. And enjoy the Birds and Giants. I hope we're talking about playoff football next time I'm around. On Monday night, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
Just win, Daniel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.